Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining this call. My name is Leslie Dach. I'm the chair of Protect Our Care. And today we'll be talking about the Trump sabotage agenda, including the Texas lawsuit, all the other things they're doing to wage a war on healthcare, as well to discuss the results of a presidential battleground state poll that demonstrates very clearly the unhappiness that the American people have with President Trump's healthcare agenda. Let me quickly introduce the speakers. Our first speaker will be Senator Debbie Stabenow of Michigan. I think you all know her. She's the ranking member of the Senate Agriculture Committee, a senior member of Finance, Energy, and Budget. And she's also is a senior member of the Senate Leadership Team, serving as chair of the Democratic Policy and Communications Committee. And particularly for this call, she has been one of the greatest champions for healthcare through her entire tenure in the U.S. Senate. Our second speaker will be Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut. He is a member of the HELP Committee. He has been a leader on healthcare too since he arrived in the Senate, and really has been a leader in explaining the Trump and Republican healthcare agenda to the American people. He also spends a lot of his efforts to try and provide America with sensible gun laws and a forward-looking foreign policy. Jim Williams will be our next speaker. He's a principal with Public Policy Polling. He has been doing healthcare polling not only in battleground states but across the American electorate for a long period of time, as an expert in knowing where the American public is on this issue. And Brad Woodhouse will close it off. He's my partner at Protect Our Care and our executive director. He previously served as president of American Bridge, Correct the Record, and communications director at the DNC, and he'll also moderate the Q&A. I should point out that Senator Stabenow will have to leave before we get to the Q&A, Senator Murphy, we hope, will be able to stay with us for answer some questions. And with that, let me turn it over to Senator Stabenow. Thank you.
Well, thanks very much, Leslie. It's great to be with everybody this afternoon, and both to you and Brad, everybody at Protect Our Care, thank you for your advocacy and being in this fight for health care, protecting people's health care that it seems that we have to do over and over and over again. Also, Jim Williams, thank you for your work, and my great partner in the fight, Senator Chris Murphy. Let me just, as a backdrop, we are coming at a time now that in a couple of weeks, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals is going to hear arguments, as we know, in the Texas versus United States case, which is a lawsuit brought by 18 Republican attorney generals and governors to overturn the Affordable Care Act. And sitting on their side of the table is the President of the United States and his administration. And so after the Republicans voted over 100 times to repeal or undermine the Affordable Care Act, and we were able to beat that back, and as we all know, in the Senate, be able to stop that effort, the Trump administration is just now doing this through the courts and through sabotaging the system administratively. So it seems like over and over and over again, we're having to fight for just basic health care. And people say to me all the time, you know, my health care is personal. It's not political. What's going on here? And that's a really good question, because all of us care about and need health care for ourselves and our families. This should not be a political football. And I'm speaking from Michigan, because I know the polling is focused on battleground states, and Michigan is one of those. Let me just say that of the Republican lawsuit threatens health care for 133 million people with pre-existing conditions, and more than half the people in Michigan have a pre-existing condition. So this is something people are deeply concerned about. And as one of the states that expanded Medicare, we have what we or Medicaid, what we call Healthy Michigan. So folks that are minimum wage workers now don't have to choose between having health care or working. They can now do both, and we've got, of the 17 million people getting care under Medicaid, about 700,000 of those are people in Michigan. And so in so many ways, this impacts all of us, and it's not a weekend that I'm home that somebody doesn't come up and talk to me about how their 22-year-old or 24-year-old is on their insurance because of the Affordable Care Act and their concern about what will happen to that as well. So people in Michigan get it, and let me just finally say that the 2018 election showed that. The top issue that united all the Democratic candidates running, including myself in 2018, was health care. And we all know that, you know, every proposal a Democrat has increases health care and lowers costs. And unfortunately, every proposal a Republican has takes away health care and increases costs. And so in Michigan, we saw after 8 years of an all-Republican state, we took back the governorship, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, attorney general. I won re-election. We flipped two seats from Republican to Democrat in the U.S. House, and the number one issue was health care, because people truly believe and understand that this is personal for them and their families, and they are extremely upset that this is viewed as something that's a political football by Republicans in this administration. So we're back at it again, and we are needing everyone's help. We're engaging this week. We will engage the week when the oral arguments are taking place in 2 weeks. And we're engaging people in every way we can to once again step up, speak out, tell their story, push back. And the person who's out there in front helping us lead that is Senator Chris Murphy. And so I'm going to turn it over to Senator Murphy.
Great. Thank you very much, Senator Stabenow. Thank you to all of the folks who have joined us for this call today. You know, I think it was loud and clear the message that the American people were sending to Congress in 2018. Healthcare was the number one issue for voters when they came to the polls, and that's why the Republicans are no longer in charge of the House of Representatives. That's why a lot more voters voted for Democrats and Republicans in the United States Senate elections. What's amazing to me is that after 2018 being a clear referendum on health care, Trump and the Republicans have doubled down on their attacks on the American healthcare system. You know, it would have been pretty easy for Republicans to send a signal to the American public that they were going to stand down in their attacks on people with pre-existing conditions or Medicaid and Medicare patients. Instead, they have stood with the president as he has ratcheted up his attack, especially in the court system, on the Affordable Care Act. Debbie mentioned we're about 2 weeks away from oral arguments in which the President of the United States is going to send all his lawyers to court to argue that the entirety of the Affordable Care Act should be destroyed. Not piece by piece, not over time, overnight, all of it. That means 130 million Americans who have pre-existing conditions could have their rates go up by as much as 65%. That means Medicaid expansion disappears. That covers 17 million Americans. Imagine 17 million Americans losing health care overnight. That's a humanitarian crisis. 12 million seniors who have had their drug prices reduced by the Affordable Care Act are going to have higher bills. 2.3 million adult children under the age of 26 who are on their parents' plan will be kicked off of their insurance. Republicans have a chance to stop this. They could pass legislation pulling the administration out of this lawsuit, but they won't do it. And so, you know, it's up to us to make it incredibly clear that the public mood has not shifted at all since 2018. I don't want to get too far ahead of the data that's going to be presented here, but I'll just, you know, clue you into one stat that caught my eye. This polling says that 72% of Americans in battleground states would not consider voting for a presidential candidate who supports plans that eliminate health care protections for people with pre-existing conditions. that 72% of Americans aren't going to vote for a candidate who doesn't support protecting people with pre-existing conditions. Well, newsflash, the President of the United States is using all of the power that he has at his disposal to try to take health care away from people with pre-existing conditions. And if Republicans running for the Senate and the House don't get out front of this president and do what they can to check him, then there's another tidal wave coming next November. So we're going to continue to stay at this in the Senate. We have good bills coming over from the House that help protect us against Trump's campaign of sabotage. And Senator Stabenow, myself, Senator Schumer, others are going to do all we can to try to force votes on those on the Senate floor. So I appreciate you having me on this call today.
Thank you, Senator. Let me turn it over to Jim now, who will talk about the data in greater detail. Jim Williams.
Thank you, Leslie, and thanks everybody for being on the call with us this afternoon. Public Policy Polling conducted a survey in four battleground states, Florida, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, earlier in the month. We found that an overwhelming majority of voters in those battleground states say that they would not consider voting for a presidential candidate who supports any of the major pieces of Trump's agenda on health care, whether that be eliminating protections for people with pre-existing conditions, cutting funding for Medicare, or letting insurance companies stop covering the cost of prescription drugs. It's not just that they oppose those policy items. It's not just that they oppose the agenda. They say they wouldn't consider voting for a presidential candidate who supports those things. Specifically, we found that if a candidate for president supports plans that let insurance companies stop covering the cost of prescription drugs, 77% of voters say they would not consider voting for them. Only 10% say that they would consider voting for such a candidate. 73% of voters say they would not consider voting for a candidate who proposes a budget that includes $845 billion in cuts to Medicare, as we know Trump's budget does. And as Senator Murphy highlighted just a minute ago, 72% said they would not consider voting for a presidential candidate who supports plans that eliminate health care protections for people with pre-existing conditions. This has been something that polling has been consistently showing since last cycle. People are not happy with these policy items with respect to health care. And in fact, we asked them directly to choose between what they have a higher opinion of, healthcare plans that eliminate protections for people with pre-existing conditions, or other common things that people hate, being stuck in traffic. People have a higher opinion of being stuck in traffic by 47-27 margin compared to eliminating protections for people with pre-existing conditions. People have a higher opinion of used car salesmen by a 45-25 margin over those kinds of healthcare plans. Or even cockroaches, people like better than those types of healthcare plans by a 42-28 margin. And another kind of illustrative thing that we did in this poll, we matched President Trump up against some of the most the worst of villains that you can imagine, so supposing that they were his opponent for president, and asked them who they would vote for if the presidential race was defined about his healthcare agenda. We asked folks if they would. Who would they vote for, a zombie who supports health care or President Trump who would repeal health care? The zombie won by 4 points, 46-42. Same thing, we asked the people if they would vote for Dracula, who supports health care over President Trump, who doesn't. Same outcome, 46-42. Only Attila the Hun was the only villain who got into a tie with Trump, 42-42 in that scenario. Last thing that we found a majority of voters say that they trust Democrats more than President Trump on health care. 52% say that they trust Democrats more. Only 43% say they trust President Trump more. And among those crucial independent voters, the margin grows. 59% of independent voters say that they trust Democrats more. Only 36% of independents trust President Trump. So these are striking poll numbers. It's unusual in this day and age of polarization, political polarization, to see such broad, overwhelming agreement on an issue like we see here with these healthcare numbers.
Thanks, Jim. And now over to our final speaker, Brad, and then over to questions.
Great. Leslie, thank you. And I want to obviously thank Jim and Senator Murphy, Senator Stabenow for being on this call, but also for their leadership. I just want to make a few observations. We really are, and I think the American people, as it relates to their health care, today should really be paying attention. I know they don't probably have the time, so we'll have to do it for them. But just pay attention to this Texas lawsuit that is coming up for consideration at Fifth Circuit, which has already been ruled in favor of the plaintiffs by the judge in Texas to get rid of the entire Affordable Care Act in one fell swoop. However, for the next couple of days, we're going to have a slight detour from that, and the body politics, so to speak, is going to be focused on the first Democratic presidential debates in Florida, in Miami. And there's been a lot of discussion in the lead up to that debate, and you see articles about, you know, the differences of opinion, the diversion of opinion among Democrats over health care. And I think going to that debate, I just want to make a few observations based on this poll and other polling we've seen, and that is that the real health care debate in this country is between President Trump, Republicans, and the American people. As we've seen in this poll, and I think since we have been in business, Protect Our Care, between heart research and change research and public policy polling, and you look at individual state and national polls and individual candidate polls, has conducted 100 polls at least. We've never seen a majority in support of getting rid of protections for people with pre-existing conditions. Never seen majority support for getting rid of the Affordable Care Act. Never seen majority support for slashing Medicare or majority support for slashing Medicaid or majority support for getting rid of Medicaid expansion. The debate in this country is not between Democrats and Democrats on health care. It is between Trump and the American people. His approach is rejected wholesale. And as Senator Murphy said, it is why the American people took scores of Republicans in the House of Representatives and showed them the door. They didn't like that bill that passed that would repeal the health care law and repeal all of the things that the Texas lawsuit would repeal. They didn't like that celebration at the White House, celebrating increasing their cost and cutting back their coverage. Senator Stabenow hit it on the head. The difference on health care are Democrats who want to expand coverage and decrease costs, and Republicans whose policies would get rid of coverage, lose coverage for millions of people, and increase costs. And by the way, there's no Democratic proposal by any Democrat running for president that is not more popular than what President Trump wants to do. Now, it is with that context that you see this deep political vulnerability that Republicans are feeling on health care, that now the president is nibbling around the edges, trying to seek for some type of political cover. An announcement on transparency yesterday that no one knows if it will ever work. It was a rulemaking announcement. Three departments have got to issue rules. And then, you know, in the Senate, there's an effort, and in the House, to do something about surprise bills. So now the president said, well, let's do something about surprise bills. You know, the biggest surprise bill that the American people will ever see, it will be the eradication of the Affordable Care Act by the Trump-Texas lawsuit in Texas, kicking millions of people off coverage, exposing 130 million Americans with pre-existing conditions to increased costs or lack of coverage entirely. If this president and the Republicans on the Hill want to get out from the anvil that they've dropped on themselves on health care, they need to denounce the Texas lawsuit. They need to denounce and apologize for their repeal and sabotage strategy, work with Democrats to lower cost and improve care. But that is not what they're doing, and we're facing another health care election as a result. With that, I'll turn it back over to you, Leslie. I will pick up here, and Whitney, let's go to Q&A.
Of course. At this time, if any of our participants have questions for our speakers, if you want to press *3 on your phone, that'll enter you into our Q&A queue. Again, that's *3.
We have a dozen reporters
all right,
on the call. Call Whitney.
Yep. Our first question is going to come from Mary Ellen McIntyre at CQ Roll Call. Mary Ellen, you are live.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for doing the call. Brad, I wanted to follow up on what you were saying there. I'm curious, one, about how much you think the public is aware of this lawsuit at this point, and then also, what should the Democratic presidential candidates, what do you think they should be saying about this lawsuit? What would you like to hear from them, either in the debates or as they're campaigning ahead of the appeals hearing in July?
Well, a couple things. I want Senator Murphy to weigh in here too, but I don't think enough Americans do know about the lawsuit, and that's one of the reasons we're having this call. It's one of the reasons that Senator Murphy, Senator Stabenow, and Senate Democrats and House Democrats are going to spend the next several weeks talking about this incessantly. And, you know, frankly, when we get into political season, there's going to have to be money spent to remind people on television about this lawsuit. It will be part of the advertising game, I think. What I'd like to hear from the Democratic presidential candidates on the Texas lawsuit is also what more I think we want to hear from them and from all Democrats and everyone who supports the healthcare law and improving it is to focus on to spend time focusing on President Trump and Republicans. Remember, this is an election where he is the incumbent. This is an election where his policies are the one that are on trial. That's not to say that Democrats don't have to bring policies to the table, and by gosh, they have, all of them. But this president needs to be held accountable. The preponderance of time should be spent on what he's doing to harm health care and what Republicans have done to harm health care. That's where I think they should really focus, because that is, at the end of the day, when one of them gets this nomination, that's going to be the number one issue the American people are looking for in the general election. So they really need to focus on Trump.
Yeah, this is Chris Murphy. I just agree. I think Democrats have to be disciplined in our focus on Trump's sabotage plan. You know, it's a really fascinating and important question as to what Democrats want our healthcare system to look like 10 or 20 years from now. But the real present clear danger is that this lawsuit, if successful, could create a humanitarian catastrophe in this country that we would not be able to recover from. And so I understand that our Democratic presidential candidates are going to naturally spend a bunch of time talking about, you know, their very big, bold plans for healthcare reform. But if they do that at the expense of explaining to the American people what Donald Trump will do to our healthcare system and people with pre-existing conditions if he gets a second term, then it's not time well spent.
Our
Whitney, any more questions?
Yep, we've got a couple more here. Our next question is going to come from Tammy Luby at CNN. Tammy, you are live.
Thank you for holding this call. I mean, it doesn't seem that the presidential candidates for 2020 are talking a lot about this suit and about protecting the ACA. So what type of advice or guidance are you giving them? And will we see more of it from them?
I see quite a few of them every day, and I'm not shy about, you know, giving my advice. I understand that primaries tend to be places where, you know, candidates try to differentiate themselves from each other, and there's no differentiation amongst the Democratic candidates on whether they're going to fight Trump's sabotage campaign. Every Democrat is going to fight to protect protections for people with pre-existing conditions if they are elected. So I agree that they should be more focused on explaining Trump's sabotage plan, but I also understand how primaries work, and primaries tend to be places where you try to show your differences with each other.
Thank you.
And our next question is going to come from Jesse Hellman at The Hill. And Jesse,
hi,
you are live.
Hi, thank you so much for doing this. I had a question about Trump has been talking about his health care proposals a lot in the last few weeks. He's been having a lot of these events where doctors show up and other healthcare advocates talking about transparency, like you mentioned, Brad, the health reimbursement arrangements, drug prices, more focused broadly on the issue of healthcare costs. And I was wondering if you could speak to, do you think this is going to be effective messaging for him in his campaign, or do you think it will be overshadowed by the lawsuit and everything else that his administration has done in the past 2 years?
Senator Murphy.
Well, you know, Americans are hip to what Trump is doing to the healthcare system. That's why Democrats are in charge of the House of Representatives. You know, they understand that this president is, you know, declare war on people with pre-existing conditions. And, you know, when Republicans controlled every lever of power in Washington, they didn't use any of that time trying to control costs. They spent all that time trying to take away care from 30 million Americans, period, stop. So I understand Republicans are going to desperately try to get well on the issue of healthcare after they spent 2 years trying to steal it from tens of millions of Americans. I just don't think it's going to work.
All right, that's going to be all the questions we have for today. So, Brad, I'm going to throw it back to you for some final closing remarks.
Well, I just want to thank everybody for joining us. I think Senator Murphy hit the nail on the head. This is a catastrophe in the making. This lawsuit, the implications of the entire overnight repeal, or as the president said, his hope was that the Texas lawsuit would terminate the Affordable Care Act, would be catastrophic. It would throw our healthcare system, our economy, into complete and utter chaos. But this is the president's healthcare plan. I mean, there was all this, you know, oh my God, the president in an interview, maybe it was a Stephanopoulos interview a few weeks ago, said, well, you know, we're going to come out with a healthcare plan in a month or two. And this is something he keeps saying. We know his healthcare plan. We've known his healthcare plan since he began running for president, since he was inaugurated, since in his first day he signed an executive order to tell his cabinet departments to begin to repeal and roll back the Affordable Care Act. His health care plan is the Texas lawsuit. And if he's reelected, it is to go right back at repeal. That is his plan. That's what the American people need to take away from this. And they do, and the media does need to pay attention to this. This should not wait until we're days away from a Supreme Court decision for the American people to start paying attention to this. The time to pay attention to this is now. With that, I want to thank Senator Murphy, Senator Stabenow, Jim Williams, Leslie Doc, and thanks everybody for joining this call. And we will definitely be in touch soon.